Men that bring a new style to professional wrestling that's quickly carrying them to the heights. The new breed, Sean
New
Royal,
is
Kent.
The word. Everybody, just let your wildest imagination run wild. Now picture this. The old fossil, the boogeyman, and his GoBot friend. The boogeyman's on his big Harley Davidson here, and the robot's over there on his moped going down the highway. About 40, 45 miles an hour. Now picture this. Here comes the new breed on the space cycles. What do you think when you think of that? No comparison, baby. No comparison. The Boogeyman and Lasertron have barked up the wrong tree. They've driven their mopeds down the wrong road and are definitely, definitely in for a big surprise.
Yes.
You know, Bob, when a new breed came here, we made a little trip. And with the use of the space bridge, we traveled to the world of Cybertron. And the Decepticons and all the High Council of Cybertron told us of the weakness of Lasertron, the Matrix, the power of all Autobots. Well, we are going to pull that Matrix right out from your heart, Lasertron, and destroy you from time itself. Because Ultra Magnus, Galvatron, Scourge, and the rest of all of the Decepticons are on our side, and they have told us of what we are supposed to do. We are going to delete, disinfigurate, discombobulate, take you from world, space, time itself, and they'll never ever hear of Lasertron or the Boogie Woogie Man ever again, because a new breed is here, and a new breed is here to stay. 2002, and you people are never ever going to forget it. Don't ever forget it, if you know what's good.
Give me some wrestling, Hogan, too. I want to get lost in your baby oil and blow. I was just telling you how I hated that song.
Yeah, now you're singing it on our podcast. It's a weird decision to make.
Started off a little pitchy, but it doesn't matter. It's a bad song. Unless it's the...
good songs, trying to get people on board with what we're doing here.
Well, like if it's the Uncle Cracker version.
It's like the first thing they're going to hear right at the beginning. And they're going to be like, ugh, that's off-putting.
But they might be like, oh, wait, is that the Uncle Cracker version? And then they're like, Cracker's pretty cool.
I don't remember Uncle Cracker doing a version. Are you sure you're not thinking of the X Factor theme song?
Oh, I'm always thinking about the X Factor theme song.
Because he definitely did that.
But he did just a note-for-note
just
remake.
Just a straight-up cover?
Yeah, like it's not
that,
even...
That fucking song?
Yeah, yeah.
I could see Kid Rock doing that, but I expect more from Uncle Cracker, quite frankly.
Well, Uncle Cracker came out of the Kid Rock camp.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He was the classier Kid Rock, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, agree to disagree.
Turns out not.
Yeah, not at all. But guess what we do have? Wrestling.
What?
Because it's Baby Oil and Blow.
It's the name of the show.
I'm the Big O, baby. And you
it's
get to
o.
be... You're going to be Josie to my Kid Rock. You're Nate Adams.
Ahoy, hoy there, everybody. Rest in peace, Josie.
Yeah, sorry.
By the way,
he's dead.
Starting off, let's just say that right now. Rest in peace, Josie.
Why aren't people pointing out like the anniversary of Josie's death online?
I don't know what kind of people you're hanging out with, but it's kind of a big deal in my social circles every time
I forgot
around.
Every year that you go to the gathering, you guys pour out some Faygo for little Josie.
First of all, I would never waste Faygo. That's
true.
For spraying at strippers.
Doy!
Pour it out on the ground, so that's not true.
Yeah.
Second of all, can't wait for the gathering this year.
Oh, it's going to be a good one.
Such a good time.
Scott Hall will be there, right? I just assume he's at everyone.
I can't imagine that's a very healthy environment for an addict like Scott Hall to be in, so I hope he doesn't show. I
agree to disagree.
Sabu and that weird porn star he travels around with, dressed up like a genie, I'm sure they're going
to
be there.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. We should probably start going to more things that Sabu's at, because, I mean...
These guys are a real couple of Sabu heads. They're at every Sabu event for the past year. I see them at all of them.
From everything that I've read...
What do they do for a living? How can they afford just to travel around and follow Sabu everywhere?
From everything I've read online and come to understand about meeting Sabu,
if you want him to remember you and be your friend,
which I do,
you just have to bring him pot.
Hi, Amanda. I'm Super Genie Melissa Coates, and
I'm Sabu.
We want to say a happy Valentine's Day.
You, Mike loves you ferociously. You set his heart on fire.
Yeah, that's hot. Whoa.
Sorry about that, but happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, he wanted to let you know that you've changed his life entirely, and he wants to be with you forever.
Change Mike's. Mine's already changed. Happy Valentine's Day.
Well, we can't waste any more time. There's a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
in the modern world of wrestling.
I was thinking the same thing.
Modern
right before world we sat down to do this.
Of wrestling. Did you hear the big announcement tonight?
Nope.
The big October pay-per-view, Evolution.
Halloween Havoc.
It's going to be an all-women's pay-per-view.
Well, that's pretty sexist.
With 50 current and past women's wrestlers.
Okay, current and past. I was going to say, they got fucking 50 women signed on that roster.
They're
going to
have SmackDown.
Still kind of insane.
Raw and NXT matches, as well as the finals of the Mae Young Classic.
Okay, that's a pretty big event.
What do you think about that, Nate Adams?
I'm not going to watch it.
Who are you most excited to see back in the ring for
that? Stephanie McMahon.
Oh, not your girl Candice Michelle?
Which one was Candice Michelle?
The one with the terrible drop kicks.
Oh, that's a random name to pull up.
You loved her for a while in the early aughts or whatever that was.
Pretty sure I didn't.
But that's not what I really wanted to talk to you about.
Oh, thank God. I've got nothing to say about more women's wrestling.
To get your thoughts, your hot take, walk me through Slammiversary last night, man. I know you were watching.
Didn't watch Slammiversary.
Record scratch?
This whole segment right here where you quiz me on modern wrestling and I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
It's a dead end segment, Matt.
No, it's a good bit.
It's a dead end segment.
We all know you watch it.
It's all getting edited out.
It's a good bit.
I had nothing to say.
It's a good bit.
Because I don't watch any of it.
Did the right people win?
Don't watch any of it.
What do you think? The storylines?
Got no idea.
Big payoffs?
Clueless.
The payoffs, man. It's all about the payoffs.
Clueless about what happened at Slammiversary.
He's always talking about the payoffs.
Wait, Hogan?
Yeah, he was there.
He's not back in Impact Wrestling.
He's in both. Turns out, boy, Impact is down with the N-word. They throw it around.
I was about to say, you want to see a career resurgence, throw around the N-word, but that doesn't seem to be true for Papa John. You feeling me? Papa John's not even in charge of Papa John's anymore.
What did he do?
He said the N-word a bunch, too. He's got a long history of being a complete scumbag, but I think his most recent ousting from the company is over just flagrant use of the N-word.
Huh.
There's a lot of racists out there, man.
So does that mean Peyton Manning takes over
as
owner of Papa John's?
I think Papa John's is going to sort of flail for 3 years until Papa John's serves out his 3-year suspension and then gets brought back.
And then gives a half-hearted apology.
I see like a year from now, probably, they start running out of garlic butter and like it's a real problem.
Ooh, don't tell Maria.
People start talking.
Do not tell Maria.
I think maybe we should bring back Papa John. He's still got 2 years left on that suspension, though.
I'll be golden. I still don't care for that garlic butter.
I gotta say, Papa John's trash pizza.
Yeah.
Trash pizza, trash company.
Yeah.
Trash former owner.
Trashola.
No, thank you. A ride or die Little Caesars until the end, motherfuckers.
$5 hot and
talking
ready.
About cheap ass chain pizza. Give me that $5 hot and ready.
What do you say we hit the pause button on this?
Okay.
We head out to the Seasons.
Yeah.
We swing past the Little Caesars, pick up a $5 hot and ready.
I always forget that there is still an operation of Little Caesars in the area.
There's two of them. There's one on Broadway as well.
Oh, Jesus.
Like Broadway and 74th. That's
like
Maryville.
Yelp.
Yeah.
But only for Little Caesars.
The Four Seasons one's technically closer.
Okay.
But we'll go there. We'll pick up the hot and ready.
Which one's better, though?
Oh, the Seasons.
Okay, good.
Like anything that came out of Maryville is better.
Yeah, this location's got everything going for it, it sounds like.
So we're going to pick that up, and then we're going to take that right to BG Gators.
Oh, yeah. That's
where
favorite trash bar.
We'll do a live podcast while slamming some pitchers of Miller Lite.
Whew.
What do you say?
All this equipment out there to BG Gators?
Yep. You'll be able to smell the smoke.
Oh yeah,
on the podcast.
Just gonna be smoking these mics for like months.
I got a nice Zoom. I think it's Zoom is the company or whoever. It's a nice field recorder.
You think about a Zoom?
Yeah, same thing. We could just make the podcast with
things
that.
Things are amazing. You don't got to carry around your CDs anymore, Matt.
Yeah, I know.
This is all your music and fit right on your Zune.
Yeah. Oh, we'll never see the payout to that because Disney axed James Gunn for not saying the N-word. From what I understand, that's why
is
he got fired,
the story
right?
Going on there?
Is he got fired for not saying the N-word?
I don't think that's true. That's looking at recent events. It's the opposite of that.
Oh.
No, he said some stuff about raping kids, I think. It's a crazy world out there.
Can't take everything serious.
Everybody's getting burned at the stake.
He also wrote a movie where a space slug tried to go into the vagina of a naked 17-year-old in a bathtub.
I gotta tell
Doesn't mean he really wants that to happen.
Slither is a strong film.
I know, I love that movie.
I think it's probably James Gunn at his best.
It's a quality film with my guy, Malcolm Reynolds.
Nathan Fillion.
Fillion.
That's right.
He's you might know him from Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place.
Mm-hmm.
That's him, correct.
Who what are the other people on that show?
Oh, Deadpool was in it.
Oh, he was. That was pre-fame Ryan Reynolds.
Yep.
Wow. And that show is older than I imagined.
There was a blonde.
There certainly was.
Who was that blonde?
Turns out. I don't know. Big things popping for people coming out of that show, except for the blonde. Must not have been very talented.
Christina Applegate.
Can't think of her name. No.
Oh, you got me,
not
friend.
Not Kelly Bundy. I would have remembered
that. Hey, great news. If you got the Up channel, I don't know if you do.
You keep talking about this Up channel like it's a thing.
Yeah. Go I'm out there. Sure it's not find the Up channel. They're showing reruns of Home Improvement.
Just thinking about UPN because that hasn't been a channel for a long time.
It's Up Channel. They show like weird, like their only original programming is like those weird, like religious families with like 30 people in it.
Uh huh.
It's like those. I
love
kinds
those
of shows. And then just reruns, America's Funniest Videos, and Home Improvement.
So essentially, it's like you and your brothers got your own network.
Yeah,
and were
just,
free
just
program
Dave and
whatever
I,
you
just
wanted.
Davey R. Scheister and I, and we're like, "What are you? What? No, it's gonna be all America's Funniest Videos." And Dave's like, no, it's got to have Home Improvement.
Yeah, your older brother, Teddy Bizkliz, wasn't able to get some like old skateboarding videos on there for like an hour in the evening blocker or nothing.
He couldn't be bothered. He had a hockey game that night.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
I can't program a network right now. I got hockey.
Well, it's a big opportunity, Ted. We got this whole network they want us to program.
No, he's making his way up. Making his way.
The only way he knows how.
Yep, he's a real happy Gilmore.
The law will allow.
Old Teddy Gilmore.
This week, the rundown is being brought to us by the movie creator James Gunn. Let's support him.
Yeah,
This guy's not like Hulk Hogan.
Go out.
I'm not mad about what he did.
No.
He shouldn't have been fired.
It's
a goddamn travesty.
He just made tasteless, unfunny jokes.
We live in the United
States. That's not a crime.
It's supposed to be a free speech area.
Yeah.
Everybody go watch Slither.
You know what? Fuck you, all you people that gave Carlos Mencia a career for a couple years.
Oh,
you gave him money
when
for
they
making
did that.
Awful, tasteless jokes.
I remember when America did that.
Shame on you.
Thankfully,
James Gunn makes a couple
our
of those
Lord and
bad
Savior,
jokes.
Joe Rogan was able to step up to the plate and ruin Carlos Mencia's career.
So, shame on all of you.
What would the world be like without Joe Rogan? I don't want to know, quite
People
frankly.
Would still be going, dur, dur, dur.
Oh, that was Carlos Mencia.
Yeah. Because that was him making fun of retarded people.
Remember when Trump
did
that? He
was openly mocking retarded
people.
And
then people. He became president?
And you gave him a show.
Carlos Mencia does it, and suddenly he can't be a stand-up comedian anymore?
Unbelievable.
What's with all the... A lot of double standards going on in this society right now.
I don't know
if
I want to live in this America.
All I know
anymore.
Is I'm offended by everything.
Yes, correct. Me too.
Primetime Wrestling.
Oh.
February 14th, 1988. This is the rundown. First match on this card, we got the fabulous Rougeau brothers Jacques and Raymond in there versus...
Oh, the Rougies.
The King Harley Race and my guy Iron Mike Sharp, best wrestler on the planet, as well as Canada's greatest athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Rougeau's win this with their flying dick to the face double team.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Established that as a pretty devastating finisher at this point.
That's pretty good.
Winning all their matches.
Pretty good move.
Dick to the face.
Pretty good.
Coco Beware is in there versus Terry Gibbs. Coco wins this one.
The Terry Gibbs.
Wins it with the Ghostbuster, which we learn in the commentary and later on in an interview. He's renamed the Weasel Buster.
What?
He's got that thing locked, cocked, and ready to rock. He's going to put Bobby the Brain Heenan away with it at WrestleMania 4.
What?
He's calling his shot. Sam Houston is in there versus the dastardly former referee, Danny Davis. Houston wins with kind of a roll-up out of nowhere. You know, he's one of those plucky little young guys. They're always winning with roll-ups.
Fruit roll-ups.
I wish. Those are delicious.
I like those a lot.
Young Stallions, they're in our next match. They're in there against perennial WWF Job Squad members, Lombardi and Horowitz.
Oh, yeah.
Powers gets the pin on Horowitz, I believe, after a power slam. Very appropriate. Powers with the power slam. You get it?
Powers. I don't follow.
You get it?
I don't follow.
Last match.
The Roma Buster. That's what I would have called
this
it.
This is not an episode of WCW, so we're already done with the rundown. We don't have 13 more matches to talk about. Last match.
That's weird.
Our main event, our featured match, Gorilla Monsoon, let us know.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one that's for all the marbles. Islanders versus Killer Bees. So
two hot teams right there with a lot of momentum.
Kind of a fun little finish there. Haku gets put out by a sleeper hold. He's the legal man, but, you know, Tama doesn't give a shit. So he just does a big headbutt off that second rope.
Yeah.
Knocks out, I think it was Blair, maybe.
Doesn't
and then
fucking
just
matter.
Pulls Haku on top of him.
Yep.
And then the ref has no choice but to count the pin, even though Haku is unconscious when in the pinning position.
Whatever.
Very crafty, these island boys.
He ended up on top of them.
That's Bobby Heenan's influence right there.
Oh,
I'll tell you
yeah.
that much.
Hell yeah.
Let's move on into the five count, where we dig deeper into this episode of television.
Trailer Howard.
That's the name of the white girl from that pizza show.
Yeah.
You're right.
She, you might know her as being...
She was from Boston Common, I think.
Was she in that?
What I primarily
she
think of her
as. She was the female lead in the hit film Dirty Work, which we love.
That's true, yeah. That's a great little film.
She was also...
It's amazing to me that Boston Common was so good that I think of her as the Boston Common girl and not the Dirty Work girl.
Yeah.
That's how good that show is, Matt.
She...
Bring back Boston Common. Netflix.
She was the...
Hulu. I don't know. Whoever else is still out there bringing back TV shows... Come on.
Boston Common.
A hillbilly in Boston? What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought you were talking about the school teaching one, but no, you're talking about with the one from the dude from Yes, Dear.
That's right.
You know I love that
Absolutely.
Show. Oh, if Dave and I really owned The Up, that'd be the third show on The Up.
It's just all the Yes, Dear we can handle.
Yes, Dear, Home Improvement,
all
AFV.
Day, every day.
All day, every day. She was also the romantic interest of Jamie Kennedy in Son of Mask.
Depressing, but true.
It was one of the funniest things that happened on the set. I can imagine playing Jamie Kennedy's wife. There's a lot of jokes going on.
Yeah, I mean, mostly like behind the scenes, it was just a really funny group of people. And we shot in Australia, so there's all these Australians. And so he would just imitate everyone. And he's really good at it.
It's 6 o'clock, baby's done. The baby, she was like a baby hunter. Instead of the crocodile hunter, it was a baby hunter. But the guys, like, they hit on girls. Like, you know, you're an attractive girl, and they hit on girls with rather large breasts. And this is what the guys do down there. They say, good day, chesty. Good day, there.
They did not say that.
Good day, chesty. In America, that's a seven-figure lawsuit. But hey, it works for them. Because they're convicts.
Really say that?
Good day, chesty. Here are you. Put those on the Barbie with some onions, fry them up.
And then she had a pretty solid run as the female lead on the hit show Monk. Everybody's parents.
Wow, she was getting work
TV
as late
show.
As Monk. I take back everything I said earlier about the blonde not going anywhere.
Son of Mask was 2005. That kind of knocked her out of the limelight.
Put my foot in my mouth.
Brought her back to the television screen.
I hope
Monk
nobody
was the same year.
Nobody like calls me out for this.
That's okay.
For saying that the blonde on this show didn't go anywhere, and I get fired from all my jobs because that's offensive.
It's hard. I don't understand what is and isn't anymore.
I know. Can we just get it over with and fire me from all my jobs already?
Yeah. Well, you can't leave this one, though. I'm sorry.
Oh.
You're stuck. I know this is what you're trying to get out of the most.
I'm going to maybe start putting in a couple more ad breaks then.
All right. Well, you know, whatever you got to do. It's going to be that or you hating yourself, man. That's the only way.
Kids got to eat.
Kids got to eat. It's hard to find five things to talk about in this episode.
There's so many. How do I narrow it down to five?
Absolutely. And by saying that, we're making it sound like it was a really awful episode.
No.
And it wasn't. It just wasn't great.
I liked it. I think it's the best episode of 80s wrestling television we've seen in weeks.
Well, that's fair, but that's the tallest midget award.
Huge, huge relief. All of the matches were decent. Nothing was terrible. There wasn't anything that made no sense why it wasn't on the program.
Yeah, I guess so.
I got things to talk about.
First thing I want to talk about is that Rojo brothers.
We'll call him Hoju.
Versus Harley Race and Mike Sharp.
Yep. Great match. Best match we've seen in weeks.
Could have been better.
I was thrilled with it.
Could have been better.
Nope. Literally couldn't have been better.
Yeah, it should have just been Sharp and Race just dominating the entire time.
I don't know. The Rujos getting in all that leg work gave Iron Mike Sharp a great opportunity to flop around on the ground like a fish out of water and wail his head off from how much pain he was in.
He was certainly screaming when they were doing those.
It was my favorite part of the match. I'll tell you that much.
Leg stretches, which was cool, but I don't know. I just always want to see Iron Mike in control, and especially if you got a Harley Race with them.
Well, the good thing about this match for Harley Race was that he's getting up there in age. As we've seen, he still is pretty much the biggest workhorse out there on this WWF roster in 1988.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's bumping his ass off. He's highest flyer of the high flyers.
He's proven that time and time again.
But he kind of had the night off tonight. Sat on that apron. He let Iron Mike do all the work.
Yeah.
It was, I think, a nice show of respect for, you know, the elder statesman. Like, I'm going to give you a night off. Just let Iron Mike handle it. This guy, he can do anything.
They should have cut to the apron a couple times to show Harley Race smoking that pack of Durrells.
Definitely. It's a
shame waiting for a tag
that all of his smoking was done off camera here in the WWE. Because you know he was smoking while out at the ring. Mm-hmm. There's no question that wasn't happening.
Is this going to be a house show, Vince? Are you filming it for your televisions? That I plan to smoke during the match, Vince.
That was a pretty good Harley Race.
Thank you.
I thought he was here for a minute. I was transported.
Been watching a lot of old tape. A lot of him being NWA champion where he just sits on that stool.
And Harley just Race tape.
Just growls.
I thought maybe you were just like watching old vaudevillian like impressionists.
No, I'm afraid that'll get me fired too.
Oh yeah, that's true. There's a lot of racist stuff going on.
You can't
back in those
laugh at white people dressed up like black people.
Hey Disney, remember Song of the South? You fucking hypocrites.
Whew.
Remember Walt Disney being a Nazi sympathizer?
Yeah, but you know what Walt Disney never made?
What?
That comedy about child rape.
Oh, I don't know. I bet if you dig through the Disney vaults, there's child rape.
No, that's just snuff films.
There's a lot of weird shit back in those old cartoons.
There's nothing funny about it. They're just straight up snuff films.
They have anything to do with Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? There was a lot of child rape going on in that movie.
Pretty sure that dude from Hogan's Heroes was making weird videos with Walt Disney when they both died.
What's the deal with that, like, when Walt Disney died, they had like a letter from Kurt Russell on his desk or something. Like that was the last thing sitting on his desk.
Yeah.
He fucked
Kurt Russell.
Stalking like a 11-year-old Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
Ew. Gross.
He was like,
shut the whole company down.
Some young Tarzan or something. He was in that episode of Gilligan's Island.
I don't want to watch any more fucking superhero movies anyways. There's been enough superhero movies. I'm over it.
But I want to see how Guardians
ends. It's done.
Ends.
This is not gonna end. They lost their director. They're gonna bring in Brett Ratner now to like...
No, he already got in trouble way before this.
Brett Ratner is...
Different kind of trouble.
He's a solid guy. You could set your watch to him.
Solid.
You want to bring somebody in, there's not gonna be no controversies. Just gonna... Easy day at the office, get the job done. You want a Brett Ratner in there sitting in your director's chair.
I'm waiting on that next Rush Hour movie.
Oh, man, that guy's such a douchebag.
Rush Hour 4, question mark?
Maybe they'll let James Gunn direct Rush Hour.
4? Rush Hour 4,
Brett Ratner's career's over.
You gotta have something to land on.
James Gunn, we're trying to get you work, man. DC, hire him. Your fucking whole slate of movies is a mess.
Did you see that Shazam trailer?
Yeah, it looks dumb.
Yeah, but it doesn't look depressing.
It looks straight up dumb, though.
But not depressing. That's true. I was amazed.
Chosen from among all others by the immortal elders Solomon, Hercules, Atlas, Zeus, Achilles, Mercury, Billy Batson and his mentor travel the highways and byways of the land on a never-ending mission to right wrongs, to develop understanding, and to seek justice for all. In time of dire need, young Billy has been granted the power by the immortals to summon awesome forces at the utterance of a single word. Shazam! Word which transforms him in a flash into the mightiest of mortal beings, Captain Marvel.
That's true. Good work, DC.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, that match.
Made a movie that's not going to be 2 hours of somebody growling.
Amen.
Great match.
Two and some change. Yeah.
I had a lot of fun with it.
Was that your number one, too?
Yep, it sure was. Hmm. I didn't like the Rougeos winning with a dick to the face.
That's a pretty good finisher, though.
Putting down Iron Mike with that? No, he should have kicked out at two. You guys are going to have to come up with something else. I remember them doing like a different one where like one guy would do a nice little swanton while holding the other one's arms, and then like he'd pull him down to give him a little extra torque. I don't know when they change to that or if they just go back and forth. Either way, you guys got to start pulling that one out. This flying dick to the face looks stupid as hell.
Unless you're Ronnie Garvin, and then it makes sense.
See, his dick to the face is more like Rock's people's elbow, though. It's not the thing that's actually doing the damage to put the guy down. It's just more of a slap in the face after the damage has been done.
Yeah.
That's why I can accept it as an acceptable wrestling hold.
That's fair.
A finish.
It's a fair assessment of the situation.
So yeah, that was my number one, too, talking about that match.
I got a number two.
Okay, so do I. Let's do yours first.
Mine's not the Coco Beware.
Okay, no.
So if you want to talk
just a little squash.
Okay,
the only thing I want to talk about is Terry Gibbs. I don't think I'd ever seen him before. He kind of looked like an extra in a Joe Don Baker movie.
Oh, yeah.
I dug it. I hope he comes around a little bit more.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I
want
to see him some more.
My number two goes to Craig DeGeorge's Special Report.
Is that the one where they had a...
Ran down all of Hulkamania.
Yeah, I skipped ahead of that because I was like, okay, what I don't need is a retrospective on Hulk Hogan's career.
Sure,
like he's the most popular wrestler on the planet. Why are you telling us who Hulk Hogan is? Everybody knows.
They, in doing so, thoroughly walked through the entire Hogan Andre program.
Yeah, which I've seen so many times at this point.
Yeah.
I skipped ahead of it.
I skipped it too, don't get me wrong.
Okay.
But I just kind of kept like skipping 10 seconds at a time so I knew what was going on to see if anything changed.
I just took a huge chunk out of this show and
right.
I was like, okay, that was a gift, Chris DeGeorge, from you to me.
I always love when they do that. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
But my point is they keep letting you know what their big event is, what their main program is. And why it's
important. Selling that tournament with that second round bye match.
Why
Andre Hogan 3.
The hell it is important.
That's
they're giving you a reason to care.
Vince thinks this Andre Hogan 3 thing is his big meal ticket.
Either
this
way.
Is make WrestleMania 4 a success.
They're giving you a focal point, and I appreciate that.
Well, I don't know. Of course they are. That's how you would successfully promote a big event. How else would you do it?
I have some ideas. Mostly just promoting several events.
More events
once.
You're promoting, the more money you're making.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But don't talk about the events in chronological
order.
Oh,
no. You go back and forth.
Yeah. This one's happening next week. But don't forget, in 3 weeks, I'm going to see you then. But before then, 2 weeks from now, I'm going to catch you in that calf cutting, razor blade wire, steel cage match. With three other guys. But before those three guys get us, two guys, we're going to get those other six guys over there in that big tag team tournament.
Which is also happening.
You follow, Daddy?
All at WrestleMania 4.
You follow, Daddy?
Okay, let's not get bogged down too much in WCW. It's a great joy to not have to talk about how terrible they are at promoting events once every other week.
My number two goes to Direction.
Okay, so run down WrestleMania 4, salesmanship. WWF's got it figured out here in 1988.
Yeah.
My number two is talking about that spot in the Sam Houston match where he just climbed up on the ref's back and smushed him.
Yeah.
Like he was going to leapfrog over him, which would have been fine. Just like a little light contact. But instead he just landed completely on his back and took him down to the ground.
Yeah.
And it was dumb. And he should have been disqualified. He attacked the referee, but instead he wasn't. And then for like the next 2 minutes, everybody on commentary just had to talk about why he wasn't disqualified. Well, Vince, he should have been disqualified.
Vince pointed out it's the ref's discretion, man.
Really made me mad. It could have been simple. Like, basically what he wanted to do is his opponent there was on the outside.
Yeah.
So he wanted to grab the top rope and do the little slingshot to bring him back in.
Yeah.
But the ref was also in front of him. So I think, essentially, he was going to do a fun little high-flying leapfrog.
Yeah.
But for some reason, he didn't do that.
Yeah.
And he just, like, basically tackled the ref like he was his big brother or something, and he was just picking on him.
Probably hurt him pretty good.
And then he flopped his opponent back in the ring,
yeah.
To which the ref was just, like, incredulous, an idiot, kind of looking like fucking Davy Crockett or whatever, just, like, laughing and smiling
push
when somebody's insulting him directly to his face. This shit made the ref look like a moron. I hated it.
Yeah.
It was a dumb spot. There was no reason for it to be in the match. Stupid.
My number three, more than I hated that.
Uh-huh.
I hate Danny Davis.
Okay. Danny Davis has got a lot of heat. Classic heel.
What's your problem? That guy.
What's your problem?
He's just boring. He got heat because they said he should. I don't think he deserves his heat.
He was a dirty ref, man.
Yeah, it's a dumb gimmick. You gotta boo that. It's a dumb gimmick. And I hate having to look at his back knee hidden underneath that skin-tight white top he wears.
Does it start popping when he's taking those bumps? Then you get like a little bit of like the pus and the
little
blood
circles.
Bleed through, going through the white of the fabric.
It's so off-putting. Like, yeah, it sucks staring at jacked up apes with their back knee.
He's trying to cycle, man. He's going from a ref to a wrestler.
It's so much worse.
He's going through roid puberty. He can't help it.
He looks like fucking Tale of Two Cities in Braille.
Gross.
Yeah, you like that?
I'm not such a fan of Danny Davis either. I'm playing devil's advocate here.
I'm not a big fan
of really,
Charles Dickens.
I feel like they had him at the top of the card. Not the top of the card, but in a featured role for too long.
Yeah.
You want to do like one storyline,
right?
Like the dirty ref, fine. Work out that storyline, and then it's over or whatever. But to keep him around as then like a mid-card wrestler?
No.
Nah, stupid.
Dumb. Now talk about his back knee. Come on, you hate it too. Just hidden underneath that white top.
I said my piece on this back knee. I'm not going to focus on this back knee any further. I'm
trying to get you fired.
Making jokes about people. You can't back knee shame people, man.
I don't know what you can do.
We got all this
anymore.
Archived audio of him just blatantly shaming someone for their back knee. It's offensive. It's degrading. He's dehumanizing Danny Davis, who's a person. Matt Ostrowski fired from his big podcast.
Oh, no. My second note on the match. Davis's back knee under that shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Woof.
Okay. I didn't write any notes about the back knee.
The only woof as big as that
would
probably be Sam Houston's wrestling.
Okay. I don't mind his wrestling. His look is what I don't like. Just like a lanky teenager.
Yeah.
Nah, get him out of here. This guy doesn't look like a WWF superstar.
Yeah, if anything, you should have had him like wearing tight jeans and like a Ramones shirt with the sleeves cut off.
Maybe like put him on the cover of a Tiger Beat type magazine.
He should have just been like some stoner teen gimmick.
I mean, you got a real life connection here with Jake the Snake Roberts. You need to play that off.
Well,
Jake Roberts' stoner brother showed up.
Fucking Fast Times at Ridgemont High had come out by this point, right?
Oh, yeah. That's
you should
have
just given
true.
Him some kind of Fast Times at Ridgemont High gimmick.
Real Spicoli ripoff type thing.
Yeah.
It would have been more with the times than like plucky young kid with Texas on his butt.
He does that stupid
like 1988 cowboy
dance.
Cowboys, like, come on, pro wrestling. You were the only people still trying to market cowboys in 1988. Nobody wanted anything to do with westerns in the 80s. It's strange how hard the pro wrestling world just kept trying to like go with cowboys, even when they were not a part of the cultural landscape.
The last cowboy.
Yeah. That's that weird wrestling bubble. It's not always so hip.
Vince was all about Brokeback before Brokeback was a thing.
It's weird, too, because, you know, Vince hates Southerners. He hates hillbillies. Southern wrestling is his least favorite thing, but he always had cowboys around. It seems like it would have been one of his things where, like, we're not doing cowboys, damn it. Everybody else has cowboys. It's stupid. It's
dumb.
We're classy. Cowboys aren't classy. What were you thinking, Vince? He even tried to make Bret Hart a cowboy.
Yeah. When Brokeback Mountain came out, how often do you think Vince liked to, like, rib people? Be like, hey, I bet you're going to go see that this weekend because you're gay.
I think there's like maybe like a 7-year little bit of a lag on that. So that was probably happening around like 2013 or something.
Oh, when he found out it was a thing.
He found out what everybody else had been completely done with Brokeback. And then he was just making Brokeback jokes every day. And everybody was just like, why does Vince keep talking about Brokeback Mountain? Plus, I saw it on HBO.
Plus, you know, he's been watching it like every night.
Just ride it out. We're going to be hearing about this for months. It'll go away.
Ride it out. That's what he said.
I get that.
Do you get the joke?
That's an off-color joke. Well, we're not doing those
go
anymore.
Go ahead. Fire me. I'm already fired. Fire me. I'm already fired.
What number are we on?
That was my 3. Okay. Yeah, that was my 3.
Okay.
You got a tree?
My number 3 is just talking about how this episode is just a great showcase for the WWF style. Every match has got jobbers in it who do nothing but just clubber when they're on offense and then scream and cry and sell their asses off when they're on defense. You got Iron Mike Sharp. You got that fucking Jamoke from the Coco match was pretty good at it. You got Horowitz Jamoco. And Lombardi. It's all of them just classic WWF style wrestlers. Classic heel jobbers. And then the good guys, they're all the ones who are like in shape or like great athletes or like technicians and can actually wrestle. And then that's why you're supposed to like them. And all the bad guys, all they do is like low blow and then like throw forearms. That's how I like my wrestling.
Except that Gibbs, he looked good.
Yeah, he was in pretty decent shape. Yeah. I mean, looked a little bit over the hill.
Yeah.
I'm going to bing that guy.
Maybe, bing him up, bro.
Maybe he had a hot career 10 years bing earlier. I don't know.
Bing him up.
Never heard of him, quite frankly. But yeah, I liked the structure of this show. I liked how the bad guys all had bad guy style wrestling. The good guys were all the ones who were good at wrestling. So, you know, hey, I like that guy because he should be the winner because he's the good one. Ooh, that guy is just a big bully moron.
I should like him even more.
I hate him.
Oh, my mistake.
Yeah, put yourself in the mindset of these ham and eggers out there.
These hoople heads?
Yeah, they don't appreciate the fine art of rolling around on the ground, clutching your knee and crying.
Arr! I got a number 4.
Moving right along. Footloose and fancy free.
I got a number 4.
Okay. I'd like to hear it.
It is in that little Herc promo, Hercules promo.
Herc the Jerk. Okay, I gotcha.
Putting over his program with the Warrior.
The Ultimate Warrior, because he's in one feud. So he talks about the guy who he's in the feud with.
And not other people in other feuds.
And he doesn't just run down every other guy on the card for no reason.
No, he specifically talks about Warrior. But the reason that I like this...
Such a weight off my shoulders not watching WCW this week.
The reason that I like this is because you get some vintage Bobby the Brain Heenan here.
Mm-hmm.
What set up this whole thing?
Snapping of that chain. Right. The Warrior has snapped Hercules.
His guy.
Previously thought to be unsnappable chain. I used to say that all the time. I used to say no one will ever snap Hercules' chain.
This guy always thought that. Attacks Warrior with his unsnappable chain.
Mm-hmm.
Warrior snaps it. And his guy.
Who's the strongest man in the world? I thought it was Hercules.
To be a laughing
stock.
I'm
starting to think it might be Ultimate Warrior.
But Heenan clears it up. Warrior was just holding the other end of the chain.
Oh, yeah.
Herc snapped it.
He's the one who did it with his big Hercules muscles.
Warrior was pulling up on the chain. Hercules was pulling down on the chain.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you snap a chain. You know you can't snap
Everybody
a chain by
knows
pulling up
that's
on
how
a chain.
You snap it. No.
You can't snap a chain by pulling up on it.
Think about science for a minute. That doesn't work.
Ask any chain expert. Any chain expert.
Good call. I like Bobby Heenan getting his clients back.
That's
saving some face for him.
Good.
Building
shit,
up his confidence.
Dude.
This is what you got to do if you're managing a pro wrestler. They're very fragile.
Yeah. Come up with excuses. Excuses are great.
Yeah. Bad guys back in the day, they used to be liars. They used to be cheats. They used to be worse wrestlers.
No shades of gray. They were just liars.
Watch this modern wrestling you're so fond of. These days, how do you know who's the good guy and who's the bad
guy?
They're all doing flips. None of them are allowed to, like, cheat or, like, do anything despicable. I think they got, like, rules. They're just like, oh, don't cheat. That would be stupid.
That's why no one cheered for your stupid Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy versus Bo Dallas and Axel whatever match. Because no one knew who to cheer for.
Is that like a match on Heat? Are they still doing Heat?
We'll just
that
say
sounds
yes.
Like a real solid Heat main event
We'll just say yes. It was for the Heat tag titles.
Oh, they probably have Heat tag titles at this point. They've got 1 million titles. Did they announce they're bringing in the women's tag titles for that women main event or thing? Wasn't that the big announcement?
We've got till October.
I heard some rumblings that they're bringing in the women's tag titles. Titles for everybody. It's like a fucking Oprah show.
Are the
handing out shake and bake or whatever?
Are the jumping power bomb angels?
Jumping bomb angels?
Yeah, are they going
to? I think they're maybe too old to come back.
They're going to wrestle for it? I hope so.
Something to look forward to.
I hope so. You got a four?
Yeah, my number four is just talking about a quote from Gorilla Monsoon when they're hyping up WrestleMania 4 over there at Trump Casino. Here's the quote. What a class guy he is. He fits right in the World Wrestling Federation. This is them talking about one Donald Trump.
Future.
What a classy man he is.
Future president.
I just, it's so weird to hear them say the name Trump over and over again and then just be talking about like dumb wrestling and not like hear Trump's name and then like
President
some
Trump.
Atrocity immediately afterwards. Like, oh, Trump fucking tweets in all capitals that he's going to nuke Iran. That was the latest thing that happened today.
Allegedly.
That's what you hear when you hear Trump these days. And just to hear somebody be like, Donald Trump, what a classy guy. He's, you know, he's hosting this wrestling event.
Yeah.
Back then when you could just live under the safe delusion that Donald Trump probably was a classy guy who just a nice guy to be around. He's throwing wrestling events. That's fun. People like wrestling.
Yeah, you got an event.
Now we know everything about
it. You got an event you want to throw? I got a venue you can hold it at.
Know way more about this man than anybody ever should have, anybody ever wanted to. Gorilla Monsoon, he is not a class man. He's a piece of trash.
No,
he's a hillbilly.
Right, he said he'd fit right into
the WWF.
He's
got a gold fucking toilet. The man has no taste. Everything he owns is gaudy. Every idea that goes through his head is stupid.
He's got a gold toilet.
He self-tans.
That's just a rumor.
No, he did a whole magazine spread. You could bing it. Class guy. It's weird. It's just weird hearing them say Trump over and over again.
More like class war.
It's all day, every day. All you hear is people say Trump over and over again. And you're like, I'm going to go back and watch some 80s wrestling. It's a nice break from this constant barrage of fucking bullshit we have to deal with all day, every
day. Yeah, barrage Obama. He was the last
president. Still just talking about Trump. It's all you hear, man.
Do you think Trump tweets in all caps because he learned from his good friend, the Iron Sheik?
He might have just had the caps lock on and didn't know how to turn it off because he's an old man.
Well, I'm thinking he just learned from his good friend, the
Sheiky Sheiker. Baby says, fuck the Trump. Come on.
That's a work, bro.
He's constantly tearing him down on Twitter. He loves the smart Jew, Paul Heyman.
Barack Obama.
He's the only guy he talks good about.
Number one, Donald Trump.
Hak-tweet.
Does he say that?
I don't think he really liked Barack Obama.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. No. Just that smart Jew? Is that what he calls him?
The smart Jew, Paul Heyman. He loves him.
Well, calls it like he sees it, I guess.
See, he could say shit like smart Jew because there's nothing you can fire the Iron Sheik from. What, are you going to fire him from being a crackhead? Impossible.
No.
Everybody's going to keep selling the Iron Sheik crack.
Right, or bringing it to him at shows like we plan on doing with Sabu.
Doing with Sabu.
And his porn star mistress. Yeah.
That's smart to know, like the drug of choice. Oh, that guy likes when you bring him this. That guy likes when you bring him that.
You remember when we were at
that flowchart.
That crappy indie show?
Which one? Narrow it
there
down.
There was the one, and Davey R. Scheister had all those lemon starbursts that he didn't want to eat.
I do remember that. A little bit finicky, a little bit of a picky eater, not putting down those yellow starbursts.
I said,
don't want to see those go to waste.
We can get rid of these. And so we walked up to the wrestler's table as they were signing autographs and selling merch in the intermission. And we asked Loki, hey, Loki.
We don't like the yellows, man.
Do you want these yellow starbursts? And he said,
no. No.
The man's very serious about his training and his fitness.
Then...
Come on, Loki. One yellow starburst ain't gonna kill you, brother.
And then we asked future WWF superstar Cesaro, at the time Claudio Castagnoli.
True. Hey, I forgot that Claudio got involved.
Hey.
In the lemon...
Claudio Castagnoli.
Starburst debacle.
Do you want these lemon starbursts? And he's like, scusi.
Yeah, I have plans of getting ripped to shit very soon in the future. I know that I'm not right now, but it's coming. Trust me.
He also looked confused and scared.
I don't think he quite knew what a yellow starburst was. They got a different name for him in Sweden, probably.
And then, the point I'm getting at...
Oh, yeah.
Know your audience.
The hero of the story.
Know your audience. Who did we ask third?
Finally, the hero of the story. Legendary chubby guy Steve Corino.
Bam! And what was his answer?
That guy wasn't going to the gym later.
What was his answer? He gave us a stone cold,
hell yeah.
Free Starburst?
Then he ate those yellow
Starbursts. He ate those that we gave him.
Man, Steve Corino is a fucking legend.
That's hardcore.
All you young wrestlers out there, that's what you need to be aspiring to be. Yeah. You don't pass up free food when you're out there on the road.
He's the king of old school.
Get those calories in.
King of old school.
Got to save your money.
That's how he became king.
Exactly.
Taking free meals.
That old school, it was all about the free meal.
Ah, God bless him. Good man.
We need to go to another indie show, just bring in some Starbursts. We'll see the new generation of guys out there. Who's eating the Starbursts and who aren't? This is how I'm going to start figuring out which wrestlers I like and which wrestlers I hate.
Yep.
Number five?
Yeah, five. Killer Bees versus the Islanders.
Main event match. I wanted to talk about that as a number five as well.
Yeah.
So let's just get it over with. It's like a Band-Aid. Let's pull it right off.
Really, the only thing that I really liked about the match that I really wanted to talk about was Heenan's sweet, usual black shirt with the sequins on it.
Love that
shirt.
They
had the BH on the front. But on the back of it, what's it say? Real big?
I'll get myself one of those.
California.
I didn't notice it. California real big.
That one tonight, buddy, says
cause
California.
He's from Beverly Hills, and everybody knows that.
Yep, not Indiana. Go fuck yourself. He's from California.
I wanted to talk about the Islanders because I think they're an underrated tag team in the annals of WWF tag teaming. These guys... they're a lot of fun in these interviews where Bobby Heenan does the talking, but they're doing a lot of like Varsity Club-esque goon shit in the background, just like headbutting each other.
A little more dialed
goofy.
In.
Well, yeah, definitely. A little more dialed in than Rick Steiner.
Steiner versus Steiner. The one that never happened at Fall Brawl is going to happen at Halloween Havoc. A lot of stress for both you and members of your family. Do you think you pushed too hard, Rick, for this particular match?
No, I don't, Gene. You know, my brother... he's brought this on himself, and this has been coming for a long, long time, Gene. When we get the fall.
What? What the devil? What is that? Wait a minute. Take a look. Get that dummy out of here. We're trying to conduct an interview.
Who's that?
Shut him up, please. Give it a rest.
Out here.
What?
Hey, cue ball. Who you calling a dummy? You're standing there with the genetic throwback who barks at the moon. I'm doing love scenes with Jennifer Tilly, and you're calling me a dummy?
Say it again.
Yeah?
We call you.
You're a dummy.
Hey, what's the matter? For a guy who never shuts up, you sure don't have much to say, Mean Gene.
Well, just a second here, Chucky.
Shut the hell up.
Don't let him talk to you like that.
I didn't come here to talk to you anyway. I came here to talk to that idiot standing next to you.
Hey, bring your raggedy rear end down here. You got something to say to me.
Wouldn't you, Ricky? You've been playing with dolls all your life. At least that's what your mother tells me.
Oh, please.
But I'm not your type. You need a kinder, gentler, dumber doll. Me? I'd show you what it's like to get your head twisted off, your arms and legs bent and broken. And when I'm done with you, I'd let the dogs chew on you like some old shoe. How would you like that, Ricky?
You got something to say? Say it. If you ain't got nothing to say, get the heck out of here.
I'm here to tell everyone that if they want to see a real pro at work, they should go and see my new movie, Bride of Chucky,
please,
opening October 16th. And I want to give you some advice, Ricky. Don't mess with Scott. You see, what I really want to do is direct, and Scott's the lead in my next project. So if you mess with Scott, you're messing with me and my Academy Award. And Chucky's gonna get more than lucky, Ricky. Chucky's gonna get even.
Well, that's insanity. That's lunacy.
Wow. Impressive. But yeah, they got a lot of personality in these interviews. They're a good fit with Heenan. But in the ring, man, they're great. They're fucking flying everywhere in this match. They're just taking huge, huge bumps, making the Killer Bees look like a real threat. But also, they're strong as fuck. So when they're done flying around, they can make their opponents fly around the ring. They're just fucking chucking people, tossing them, going to the top rope, flying off that shit. I would like to see these guys, I think, if you could, like, take the Steiner Bros from, like, a few years down the line, like a 1992 Steiner Brothers,
ooh,
and have them in a match with a 1988 Islanders.
That'd be some hard-hitting shit,
I think
shit,
that would
pal.
Be an off-the-chain
goddamn
fucking
pal.
Match. I
goddamn
think that people
pal.
Should talk more about the Islanders as a tag team. I gotta say, this is probably my favorite era of Haku's career,
well,
barring maybe Gigantic Fro Haku.
Thank you.
Yeah.
When he was just dropping headbutts
late career,
left and right.
Gigantic Fro Haku was pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But this here, this Islanders tag team, it really works for me.
Him and Barbarian.
Wish they could have got a
back
bigger run,
WCW.
Maybe a title run.
Squashing people.
Maybe stick around a little bit. Pretty soon you got Haku stuck with the fucking 800 pounds of dead weight that is Andre the Giant. Come on, nobody needs that. I'd rather watch an Islanders match.
Well, we're gonna take a break here to
we gotta get those hot and readies.
Yeah, we gotta get the hot and readies. We gotta pay for these ads. And then I also, when you were inside your house before I came in, constructed a volcano in your front yard, and I plan to jump it with my dirt bike.
Well, that'll be fun.
It's gonna be
promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Now at Little Caesars, you can get Crazy Eights. Two medium pizzas loaded with eight toppings for only $8.88. Why, that's a virtual avalanche of toppings. There's pepperoni, ground beef, bacon, ham, green pepper, onions, Italian sausage, mushrooms. The Crazy Eight special at Little Caesars. Eight toppings for only $8.88.
Pizza, pizza.
Columbia Pictures presents the new and improved Dennis Rodman.
I'm the man, baby.
He's kinder. He's gentler.
He's terrible.
He just has one simple rule.
No refs.
Now that's what I call hang time.
Sorry.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Does your hair change color when you sweat?
Dennis Rodman.
No hard jokes today, okay?
Double P.
Toodaloo.
Toodaloo. Rated R. Opens everywhere April 4th.
Baby, oil and blow.
Put all the techno drum sounds behind that.
You're doing an Aphex Twin thing?
Yep.
I want three counts.
Oh, that's pretty cool, too. Want to watch those videos after we do all this?
I generally just have a whole tricked out living room with monitors everywhere. There's old 90s techno videos playing at all times. So I'll just fire up that system. We'll drop some drugs into our system. And
we'll do something that like doesn't really exist. Something called like Viper.
Little Caesar's pizzas we just ate. Man, feeling a little heavy.
Well, I might have to blast out a Duke.
Feeling a little
in your bathroom before we do that.
Weighed down by all that dough.
I'm going to have to blast out a Duke before all those designer drugs we're going to take block me up.
Perfect.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I know exactly what you're saying.
A lot of people don't realize.
The good news is I also have monitors and techno playing in my bathroom. So
yeah, and monitors.
Be entertained.
In your room so you can watch people poop. I know what you're into.
It's not people. It's just
wastoids. the wastoids that come over to your it's 90s.
Just, the one girl that lives in my house. I watch her poop all the time. It's not like I'm bringing people over here.
I don't think you need a monitor. I'm pretty sure that's got to be like an open door policy.
No, yeah,
she's not shutting a door, is she?
Very rarely. If she's in the bathroom and the door is shut, I'm like, oh man, somebody's serious must be happening in there.
In there with.
It's got to be gross.
I'm just saying, I think you got to think about your options. I know that you are technically married now, but that does not mean that they have to live here.
Dale, I think it's time for a change for both of us.
Dad, we're men, okay? That means a few things. We like to shit with the door open. We talk about pussy. We go on riverboat gambling trips. We make our own beef jerky. That's what we do. And now that is all wrecked.
We literally have never done any of those things.
Boundaries. Who needs them?
No, I don't know. I guess I've learned to shrug them all off.
Makes you a better person.
You think so?
In the end.
That's true.
Only kindness matters.
I spend much more of my time watching girls poop.
Yeah. It's all I... Bing.
Yeah. I've been wasting my days, as it turns out.
Well, I'm going to handle some business, and I need some videos, you know.
Uh-huh.
Binging. Japanese public restroom.
There you go.
Just video after video. It's usually girls peeing, but every once in a while, bam, poop video.
Once in a while, something slips out.
It's a poop. That's what it is.
There's a lot of weird stuff on the internet. It's like a fantasy land. You could get anything.
I tell you what, man, it's not for everybody.
Any old thing you could think
of. I'm going to give you a... I'm going to give you Maddo's big pro tip to parenting for today.
How do they do it?
All you peoples out there with children that are listening.
I don't even know how people do
if
it.
If you got little kids and you also got the internets.
Don't do it.
You might want to think about putting some kind of restrictions on that internet.
Can they do that?
I don't know. There's got to be a machine.
If I ever mistakenly have a child, it's out to the woods for us.
When you buy your brand new 2018 eMachine Tower computer.
Okay.
Dude,
you're getting a Dell.
Yeah, there's got to be some kind of control thing in there. And just
I don't trust
that.
It. Straight up.
Or call the Geek Squad. Life. Get the Geek Squad.
I'm raising my kid.
I plan
like
on
a caveman.
I plan on living like that Quiet Place movie.
Every once in a while, I'll pop in like a Cosby Show DVD, let him watch some of that, and I'll be like, this is funny show. That right there is a great man. He's a funny comedian called Bill Cosby. Oh. Nothing bad ever came out about him.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
Sadly, he died several years ago, but he died with a sterling reputation.
Off the grid, man.
There's nothing terrible that you need to know about.
What was that monster?
Also, Donald Trump was never president.
What was that quiet monster movie? Is that Quiet Place?
Place with Jim from The Office?
Yeah,
that was a thing.
I can't remember. I always screw up the title, but I'm going to...
You're like one of those dads who can't get the name of anything right.
What's
ever.
the quiet thing? No, that's really how I live.
My
You're
dad
not joking.
Like that.
You're not joking.
Every weekend I went to my dad's and we went to a movie, and every weekend he'd find some way to subtly get the name of the movie we were going to see wrong when he was asking the girl for a ticket.
Is that why I'm such a big part of your life right now? Is because every weekend we hang out and I inevitably fuck up the name of something?
It could just possibly be some deep-seated shit coming out here. I don't know.
Oh, either way, I'm touched. But I want to live like that. Just...
Can I get two tickets for Back in the Future?
Yeah, Back in the Future. My big thing, if and when we go to the theater, which we don't anymore because I just can't stand going to the theater.
Oh, God, it's the dirt worst.
I don't want to go there because you, motherfucker, you're going to have your phone on and it's going to break my brain.
Yep.
I just paid $50 because I had to buy two tickets.
I am way... too easily distracted.
Yeah.
To have you waving your fucking phone around in the dark.
Yeah. I just want to wait until the fucking movie comes out on Apple TV, and then I'll just sit.
AMC theaters aren't even like fucking using the curtains to letterbox the movies anymore.
Yeah.
If like, you know, it's in the 2:35 aspect ratio.
Yeah, they don't do that.
And, like, fucking, you used to get the little curtain and go, come out to the sides to make it a little bit wider. So,
yeah.
Nope. Now it's all just... You know, one big wall and like
force it to fit there.
They just project everything on that wall, and some of the wall's dark and some of it's not.
Yep.
Oh, come on. Have some pride in your presentation.
Maybe it looks good.
Half the time they still have the 3D lenses on from the 3D film they were playing last week.
Jesus,
so everything's just looks like they got Vaseline rubbed on the fucking thing. Ugh. Looks like shit seeing these movies. Everybody's loud. Everybody's got their fucking phones out.
Yeah.
I'll only go to the Music Box Theater because the people that go there like movies and have some goddamn respect.
Amen.
Everyone else is out.
Amen.
Everyone else is out.
Which is a shame because
all you AMC multiplexes, ugh.
I used to
be burned to the ground.
I enjoyed going to those theaters just so I could make old man jokes to the young girls working.
There's nothing the girls working minimum wage jobs love more than people making old man jokes to them.
I always be like, huh? And Marie would just be like, I wish you wouldn't do that.
Yeah,
and I wish you would not do that.
I die inside every time this happens.
And then every once in a while, I get one of them to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
But then I ruin it by just being like, see? Mm-hmm. She thought it was funny.
They like my jokes.
And then they're like, I'm not having a good time anymore.
Now give me two tickets for A Silent Place.
A Silent Place. Nate, what happens when you take not one thing, but two things, put them together?
You add a three thing, then you got a three count.
What if the three count was a thing about not the three, but the two that was originally one made into a two,
okay.
And now they're a team?
This is Steiner math. Now you've lost me. We got a three count.
It's because you're too busy thinking about Dunkin' Donuts.
So that Rougeau brothers, they have that move in their repertoire where the one brother lifts up the opponent and then the other brother jumps off the top rope and hits him in the face with his dick. And it got me so mad about what a dumb move it is, I started thinking about better moves. And that was a little inspiration for this week's three count, which is best double team moves of the 1980s. It's not just a move that one guy can do. No, it requires two guys, some cooperation, a little communication. These are all things we could use more of in this modern world. Let's celebrate the people who got it right.
And no, we're not talking about all the stupid shit that the Young Bucks do. We're talking about real tag team finishers.
Some of that stupid shit.
Yeah, some of it's pretty cool. Some of it's pretty cool. Meltzer driver. But these are not those moves.
No.
These are different ones.
Different era.
I got a first one.
Different expectations.
A three, because we count backwards.
Right? And we build to our number one.
Yeah.
Which is our favorite in the whole world. It's
a
big event.
The favorite is in the whole wide world.
It's a big event when we reveal these things. We put a lot of thought into these lists, and it's very prestigious to get on
them. I've been working all day.
And it's not just a weird, loose excuse.
Sitting at a typewriter thinking about tag team moves for you.
Add some structure to this podcast so it's not all dead air.
Yeah.
That's not what it is.
It's mostly dead air.
Okay. What's your number three?
Back
in the highlight.
Yeah. Fuck. Cue that up and we'll listen to that for 5 minutes. Love that song.
Feel good favorite.
Back in high life again. I'm gonna go drink some high lifes after this.
Everything you say is something an old man would say. It's getting really bad.
It's not a joke.
I know.
I have made
that
journey.
That's the scary part. That is
the scary
part.
There was a team that wasn't that great.
Oh.
And they were called the Oriental Express.
Orient Express is a great tag team. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, not good enough.
Those guys kick dick.
Before that, though, in the AWA, they were bad.
Bad company.
So bad. They were bad company.
It's not just an awesome old man band.
No.
It was also an 80s tag team.
But they dressed like crazy 80s rockers, which was cool.
Like I still do that.
That was probably the downfall of the AWA, was just everybody dressed like the Rockers or the Rock and Roll Express.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool, but
Nick Bockwinkel.
When every team dresses like that,
you kind of get marked. Whole roster looks like stupid teenagers.
Yeah. But it worked for Bad Company. And what really worked for Bad Company was their finisher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think it had a name. I don't even know if it had
didn't
a name.
Didn't need one. That's how good
didn't
it was.
Didn't have one. It was called Bad Company Till the Day I Die, in honor of Eric Clapton.
It's a great name for it.
You see Paul or Pat Tanaka grab a guy around the waist and set up for like a German suplex. So he's got the guy from behind. He's holding him real tight so solid he can't move. Get away, right?
Solid move.
And then Paul Diamond comes up to the front of the guy and he's like, bam, super kick right in your fucking face. And the minute that guy gets super kicked, Pat Tanaka's like, I'll take it from here.
Love it.
German
love
fucking
it.
Suplex.
Love moves that use some of the momentum from one
right?
move to make another move
just
in
a little
sequence
bit stronger.
Hurt a little bit more.
Yeah. And that is why it officially makes my list.
Love that move. I loved it when it was brought back by Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas.
Yes, sir.
Back in the Team Angle days. I think it's about time one of these tag teams, one of these modern tag teams, dust that one off. Somebody should take it down off the shelf. Put it in your repertoire.
Sidebar.
Can't think of anybody doing it right now.
That world's greatest tag team?
Mm-hmm.
Legitimately the best tag teams to come around.
Such a shame they had to come around at a time when there wasn't a tag team roster. They had nobody to wrestle. None of their matches meant anything.
Those guys fucking killed.
Drop those guys in a different era when tag team wrestling was a thing. It could have been a lot of fun watching them. I'm married. My number three is from a tag team that was awesome. Really underrated tag team. Not enough people talk about him. This guy we were talking about earlier in this episode, Hercules Hernandez.
Ooh.
His tag team partner, Paul Roma.
I debated.
Had a little tag team called Power and Glory.
I debated on putting this one on.
We were talking about them last week, how they have belly shirts. I don't remember what quite makes it to the final edit, but I assure you, whether or not you heard it,
we were talking about
how much we like their belly shirts. And I like their finisher most of all because it fit into the whole motif of what they were, power and glory. You know,
power.
You got one power guy who's all about strength, so he does strong stuff. And then you got the other guy who's an amazing athlete. He's going to do something that's going to wow you with his agility, his dexterity.
Glorious agility.
This move, their powerplex. You got Hercules, takes a guy up to the top rope for a superplex. Paul Roma stands on a perpendicular to him on the other top rope, on the same side. And then as soon as Hercules does the superplex, Roma's already through the air. He's jumping through the air.
Bam.
That guy lands in that suplex, and then boom, Roma gives him a big splash.
1 second after he hits the mat.
This thing takes teamwork. This takes communication. This takes timing. And it's a devastating move. You're hit with that, you're not getting up, man.
Roma's got to make sure he's not doing a fucking big splash on a Herc's head. He's got to know. I can't think of another team
who has ripped this move off since Power and Glory stopped being a thing. And for the life of me, I don't know why that is. Somebody out there needs to dust this one off.
How are like,
start
the
using
Young
it.
Bucks not doing that?
Anybody could do it.
Or just doing like a German suplex off the top rope.
There's a superplex in essentially every match these days.
Yeah.
Get somebody doing the powerplex. Great finisher.
Except it'd be like a mid-card or mid-match move nowadays.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to put somebody down with a powerplex in 2018. Unless like the guy doing the splash was lit on fire, maybe. You light yourself on fire first and then you do a big splash.
That sounds pretty cool.
I just invented something awesome.
What makes a good team?
Matching outfits.
Check.
Mm-hmm.
What else you got for me?
As long as you got matching outfits, I'm on board.
All right, how about matching outfits from the same place?
Oh, that's good. A little bond, a little... We came up on the same streets.
Same masks, even.
Okay.
so...
Why they're made wearing masks? What are they afraid of?
Interchangeable to the point where they could sneak one past the ref. Ooh, and he wouldn't even know who was in the ring and who wasn't.
I'm going to get under the ring. The fresh guy is going to be in there. We didn't make a tag. How would you know? We're identical.
Cap it off with one of the greatest finishers that no one fucking talks about.
Wow, we're digging out a lot of gems.
I'm talking about
Conquistador.
The Conquistador has had a finisher?
Yes,
I don't even remember
these
guys winning a match.
We covered it when they beat the Killer Bees back in the February or March of 88.
Okay.
But I didn't want it to just be a move that I saw once. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I watched the move.
Cut together a compilation video.
So I know it happened. But I was like, I want to watch some film. I want to see these guys win multiple matches with said move.
Going to
that
Bing
tube. So that I know. It is an established finisher.
Going to that Bing tube. I'm calling up Conquistador matches.
And Nate?
Falling in a hole.
I can tell you with 100% certainty, okay, they put down a couple teams with this move.
Some big names.
Conquistador, number one, the taller of the two.
Mm-hmm. He's a handsome gentleman.
Would set somebody up in a catapult position.
Okay.
So as he would catapult the opponent would rocket towards... the Conquistador's
hurtling through the air.
Turnbuckle, right?
Yeah, dangerous speed.
He'd set him up about the midway point.
Okay.
In the mat, about halfway. And bam, catapult towards their turnbuckle. As Conquistador number two, the shorter of the two, would come sailing through the air off that top rope.
It's two guys flying through the air at each other. That's a dangerous situation.
Hit the dude with a clothesline.
That's solid.
While Conquistador number one still held on to old boy's legs.
How do you make a flying clothesline more effective?
Dangerous.
You use some momentum. This momentum of the catapult. It's like a car crash once he gets hit with that flying clothesline.
Shove a guy with a move into another guy's move, like
it's
we just
great.
Talked
it's
about.
It's great. It's a great genre of double team moves, the shoving a guy into a move with one other move.
There was a lot of great tag team maneuvers in the 80s, but I'm telling you, this might be the most looked over and underrated one.
He's got to win some more matches. I think it would be better remembered.
True.
As a
true,
solid
true
finisher.
But, like, nobody else was doing it even. You know? Usually you get, like, some other team in WCW or whatever that's at least aping the move.
Yeah.
But, like, no.
Why wouldn't you steal moves from guys in other companies?
These were the guys doing
it. If I was a wrestler, I'd be stealing moves all the time. What's
all
the most
the
popular
time
move in that other company? Oh, yeah. Looks like I'm doing it now.
I would be known for my famous finishers.
Oh,
the pedigree.
Be
the five knuckle shuffle.
The disco inferno.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the stone cold stunner on the opposite television in just mid card matches.
Yeah.
And nobody cares about it.
At all.
I would be the disco inferno of professional wrestling.
Ooh, don't let Cody Rhodes hear that.
Disco inferno is not good enough to be the disco inferno of professional wrestling. So.
No. Cody Rhodes agrees.
My number two, classic, simple, used by a lot of teams because it's just a good solid move that'll kill a man, and that's a good old-fashioned spike pile driver.
Oh, I kicked this one around
spike
too.
Spike pile driver. One guy does a standard pile driver, but the other guy gets up on the second rope, he jumps, and he uses his momentum to make the pile driver more devastating.
Grabbing the guy's legs and pushing him down.
It's good.
As your teammate.
Because it's going to end a match anytime you hit it. It's devastating.
And end a man's career.
Yeah, it's good enough to where anytime somebody gets hit with one of these, it could be the last time. You could use it.
Yeah.
Easily use it as an angle to, like, get somebody off TV. You got to get this guy off TV. We injured him with a spike pile driver. It's a classic thing for a bunch of bad guys who are beating on a guy. And you want to let the crowd know, like, this guy's really getting gang beat right now. And it's brutal. It's not a good thing that's happening to him. You have them do a spike pile driver because it's one of the most vicious moves.
How about you get the fucking steel stairs into the ring?
Oh, if you
and you're like, I'm gonna set up a pile driver.
Spike pile drive a guy on some steel stairs. You ain't seeing that guy for a year.
I was
that
gonna
guy
say,
better be off TV.
Don't give
for
me
a year.
6 months. Give me a full
no,
fucking
yeah
year.
I want that guy showing up a year later with a neck brace on.
Still.
And everybody's like, oh, fuck, we haven't seen him for a year. And then he rips that neck brace off and is like, I'm healed and now I'm coming for revenge.
Yeah.
That's how you get a crowd crazy right there. I'm excited right now. I got moose bumps all up and down my arms just thinking about it.
Roddy Piper would have been great in that role.
Man.
If you could have put like Roddy on the shelf for a year.
Spike pile drive that guy out of wrestling for a year.
Wearing that fucking leather coat with a neck brace.
Sauntering in.
Yeah. Just
looking
like,
all disgusted.
Yeah, you know who the fuck I am.
Mm-hmm.
Crowd just erupts.
You get whoever spike pile drived him to really just bug their eyeballs out of their head. Like,
no,
oh, I can't believe he's back.
We thought we killed you.
Wrestling angles. It used to be fun.
I got a number one.
Good, good.
I got to put this move on there. I debated because I thought it wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then I figured out it's more than enough.
Wow. You really looked into your heart.
Yeah, I had to.
Learned a lot of things about life and love, it sounds like.
We're going best tag team finishers, right? Mm-hmm.
That's the topic at hand.
But it's not just like, is the move cool or not?
That's pretty important to me that the move is cool.
Well, I mean, that's a big factor of it. But who the tag team is also kind of important.
Okay, that's an interesting
angle. I can play
angle.
In there, you know?
That's an interesting angle to look at this.
And maybe this move
matter.
That was something so beautiful later on became something so devastating and sinister.
Beautiful disaster. You remember that song?
Oh, fuck yeah. I never forget about that. So you take a move that was once so beautiful and so important, then you turn it into a bitter,
talking about wrestling
sweet
moves?
Ending.
A bittersweet symphony.
To where one guy dies and the other guy lives as the greatest of all time.
Okay.
And that's why I'm given the double sweet chin music.
A double sweet chin music.
My number one.
Wow. Pretty solid.
Not one super kick.
Uh-huh.
Two super kicks.
Two guys kicking one guy.
And it's not just...
It doubles the devastation of getting kicked.
It's not just any two guys.
You got to get that timing right. It's
there
very
you go.
Important to get that timing
it's
right.
Two guys that could kick both sides of your face
Ooh.
At the same exact
time. It takes a lot
time.
Of practice. It takes a lot of teamwork. It's pretty much the sign of a great tag team if you can pull off a double super kick.
It's simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... No nonsense, but it's everything at the same time.
Just these timing double teams.
It's timing.
This always makes for one of my favorite, like, different era, but that total elimination.
I was just
going to
ask
Cronus
you.
Were
I was
doing,
just going to ask you.
Nice high
Why does
low?
Everybody like that move?
Because when you hit
timing,
it with the perfect timing, it looks devastating,
their
man.
Their teamwork, second
but
to none.
But if you get the timing wrong, move is ruined.
Yeah. Looks stupid.
It's risky.
It looks
you're putting
stupid.
Yourself out there when you're doing one of these double team moves that takes timing. That's what makes it impressive.
So you got Shawn Michaels out there with Marty Jannetty.
These guys
who's
were like
probably just
the Ken and Ryu of 80s pro wrestling.
Oh,
mirror images
amen.
Of each other.
But Marty Jannetty, think about it. He's probably either zooted to the
he's
bejesus
definitely
belt.
Definitely zooted.
Or he's hungover as fuck because he did so much blow
well,
the night before.
One's the yin, the other's the yang. One of them's got to be fucking hungover and the other one's got to be zooted. That's how they get it right. It's the perfect balance, like Thanos says.
Yeah, and Shawn Michaels, the professional that he was, knew how to account
mm-hmm.
for whatever condition.
Oh, Marty is going to be dragging ass tomorrow.
So
I better
have
start
to slow that
toot,
kick
tooting
a little.
About like an hour
yeah,
before that
or
match.
Whatever the case may be. But he always made sure that their feet got there.
Consummate professional.
Same exact time.
Consummate professional.
And then when it came time for him to do his own thing,
mm-hmm.
he's like, Marty Jannetty, take a look at this. It's the move we used to do. Bam! In your face.
It's,
and then just discarded
yeah,
him through a barbershop window.
That's a twist of fate right there. Who saw that coming? That's poetry in the
in
wrestling
motion.
Ring.
That's poetry in motion.
In a barbershop. My number one had to be my number one because it's probably the ultimate double team move. It's the dragon every team has been chasing ever since it became an established move. Everybody's trying to get their version of it. Whole genre of double team moves where one guy lifts a guy up and the other
yep.
guy does something to him. It's great. They always look devastating. They always work. The granddaddy of them all is the Doomsday Device. The Road
yep.
Warriors. They just killed motherfuckers with these guys. One guy's up on another guy's shoulders. The other guy does a flying clothesline. The fucking opponent does a full-on backflip, usually lands on his neck, breaks his neck,
especially
and dies.
Especially if he's a Godwin.
This shit was over huge.
it was so badass when I was a kid. I loved it. I love seeing people die in it.
Mm-hmm.
And just ever since it got over so big as the Road Warriors unstoppable finisher, just like every other tag team since then has come up with their version of the Doomsday Device. Like everybody's got their own little spin on it.
Yeah.
You got like, fuck.
Was Demolition's the...
Demolition Decapitation. A little bit, yeah. Like the Heart Attack is like, you got... That Steiner DDT.
That Steiner DDT is cool. Just, yeah.
Everybody's got their own. Yeah, you got a. I think the Steiners did a nice bulldog variation.
The
on
bulldog
a Doomsday Device too.
I appreciated more.
Yeah, you get a variation where instead of sitting the guy on shoulders like the guy on the bottom will do a power bomb. That's nice. That's a nice variation.
Yep.
But they all come back to the Doomsday Device.
Feel like move it's the granddaddy started of them all.
As far as. Devastating double team move.
And you know why that move worked so goddamn well?
Why is that, Matt?
Because those guys were both jacked up gorillas.
Steroids had a lot to do with it. A lot to do with its success.
But that fucking Hawk
mm-hmm.
could jump.
Oh, yeah.
Like an NBA player, man.
I was talking last week about
that dude had
how annoying
leaps, dude.
Kane's top rope clothesline is.
Right.
The announcers always talk like it's the most impressive athletic thing you've ever seen.
Guy falling off a top rope.
Yeah, he just stays vertical the entire time, like, and just does a little hop. Fucking Hawk would be totally perpendicular, flying across the ring like a goddamn dart. And that guy is as big as fucking Kane is.
He'd swing his fucking legs out, whatever the fuck. Like, that dude could fucking jump, man.
You got a mohawked brick shithouse of a man just flying through the air at you. You're done for. It's over. You're like, a dead person.
And the thing you don't necessarily think about... Animal's the strong man of the two.
Mm.
Hawk was bigger.
Yeah. Animal's a little squatter.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure he was stronger.
Yeah, I mean, Hawk he was especially like in 88 where we're at now.
Oh, yeah.
He was a fucking freak of nature.
Super athlete.
If you want to talk like WWF when they're getting a little long in the tooth and he's falling off Titantrons, I get it. But, man.
Rest in peace.
Back in their heyday.
A Titantron tragedy of 1999 was... something I'll never forget.
I prefer to think about when Vampiro lit Sting on fire and threw him off the Turnertron.
Yeah, that's also another death in wrestling that we'll never forget.
Yeah. A lot of people want to blame Seth Rollins for killing Sting.
A lot of people dying live on
Everybody
air
knows.
In that era of wrestling.
Everybody knows Vampiro did it.
A lot of people dying live on air.
Until Chris Benoit really died and then resurrected Vince McMahon.
We gotta put away that killing people live on our TV show thing for a while, probably.
Vince was born again like Jesus
Christ.
Thankfully,
Lucha Underground has brought it back. I enjoy how they kill off their characters.
Oh, yeah, they do that. Yeah,
it's very solid.
Yeah, it's cool.
A lot of them got eaten by Jeff Cobb.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah, he just eats people.
Huh.
It's a good show. I recommend it.
Huh. Kind of like that cannibal.
It's a modern wrestling pick for me. They take wrestling and make it as stupid as possible. And then they're like, we made it as stupid as possible on purpose.
It's
not just a thing we did on accident like all these other wrestling.
It's like if they would have worked out that Karate Masters television show.
Oh, I
remember
used to
that
love
one?
That TV show, WMAC Masters.
Thank you, there
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, that was a solid show.
WMAC Masters.
Superstar Ho-Sung Pak. That guy was a fucking, about a super athlete.
They're the world's greatest martial artists competing for the ultimate prize. Olympus. The Machine, Superstar, Red Dragon, Great Wolf, Tiger Claw, Panther, Tsunami, Star Wars, Turbo. Their quest, reach full dragon belt, then go for the dragon star itself. The World Martial Arts Council presents WMAC Masters.
Oh, buddy. Well, that's for a different show altogether. What do we got next week, though? Speaking
next week,
of shows.
Coming up, back in the high life again.
How many of you are here
down there
to
in
see
WCW?
WCW?
Oh, I mean,
can we start dropping that audio clip every time it's WCW week?
Take any excuse to put some Scott Hall into the show.
Everybody booing.
February 19th, 1988 is the episode. Make sure you do your homework. Come back and talk about it.
February?
March, sorry.
Yeah,
March 19th.
Yeah, there it is.
Three.
It's going to be here.
3/19.
It's going to be 3/16 on Baby Oil and Blood.
What?